Robles go and Surname FC.
What is up, everybody? My name is Hector Flores, host of Insert Name MC, and with me, as always, is my best friend and the other host of the show, El Robles.
What's up, guys?
All right, guys, as you can hear, we're on Zoom, mainly because there's some work being done at Edward's bathroom. So if you guys hear any backroom noise, that, well, there's that. But also,
all I know is I'm going to get a badass toilet, and I need that shit. No pun intended.
It's going to be a low-flow toilet?
No. Screw that low-flow nonsense.
If you guys never watched King of the Hill, I don't think you'll get that reference. But anyways, originally the reason why we were going to have a Zoom was also, well, I mean, just happens to benefit Edward because of that. But we were going to actually have Kelsey from High Low Sports on here, which if you guys don't know about High Low Sports, Kelsey from High Low Sports, he's the third member of Unhinged FC, and his personal podcast is High Low Sports. We were planning on having him here, which obviously, by the way, because this is episode 40, so, you know, that's pretty cool milestone, I guess you can say. So right now he's doing a kind of similar to what Far End the Bench and High Low Sports were doing for the NCAA tournament, which was they were in a color cast competition, which for those who don't know what color cast is, it's an app that I believe right now is only on iOS. I don't think Android has it, but it's essentially kind of a substitute for hearing somebody else commentating. So for instance, if you're just not a fan of the commentating of Joe Buck, well, you can go check on ColorCast and you can listen to maybe somebody that knows the game, but at the same time isn't as annoying as Joe Buck is. I don't know why I'm calling out Joe Buck. Joe Buck's not too bad.
You're calling him out.
But I know Joe. Okay, I think it's because I know a lot of people hate Joe Buck. I think that's if there's one thing I know, like if Joe Buck is trending on Twitter, it's not for good reasons, and it's probably just because like everyone gets mad because. Like gets mad at him announcing because he only favors the other team. Well, anyways, so essentially that's what ColorCast is. And once again, Far on the Bench and High Low Sports are competing in this time being the NBA playoffs. So right now, as we're recording, is Kelsey and his co-host from High Low Sports are currently announcing a basketball game. Don't ask me what basketball. I think he sent it to us in the Unhinged group chat, like what game he's announcing, but I didn't really look. But I know he's announcing right now. So that's the only reason why we don't have Kelsey. Hopefully we'll get him down here. We'll get him down here. We'll get him on a future episode because I think we love our dynamic with Kelsey. I think we hit it off real quickly with Kelsey, and then this guy lives. This guy lives in Iowa, and he's able to connect with these two idiots from Texas. So but crazy, crazy packed show. We got some more coaching changes, rumors, some more transfer watch. We got some headlines, a debate topic this time, which is going to be funny how we're going to talk about our debate topic, and it's going to lead to us recapping the CONCACAF Nations League final. And another game as well. So we do have some game recaps. We're going to announce our players of the week. Like I said, we were planning on having Kelsey here. So Kelsey did give me a player of the week. So we will go ahead and announce Kelsey's player of the week as well. And we're going to preview the 2020 Euros. You heard that right, the 2020 Euros. And the 2021 Copa America. Because, Edward, it's official. We're kicking off the summer of soccer. So we're going to preview those two tournaments. We'll also have some games to preview some games that you guys should be looking forward to that's coming up once you hear this episode. And of course, wrap things up with a three up, three down with a topic. It's music, music specific. So that could either, once again, you guys know that we do the singing bets. So, this could be some ammo for future episodes, I guess you can say, for that.
Right.
But yeah, man, so like I said, jam-packed show. We got to get to it. But before we do, I want to say to the family members of trying to remember the other player's name, and I feel so horrible that I'm over here trying to figure out the guy's name.
What are you trying to figure out there, sir?
So there was an Italian player who actually recently passed away due to suicide. Due to racial abuse was the specific reason, and the reason why we know that is because of he left a letter from that incident, and it was just really hard to just receive that news, just because of the fact that he was only 20 years old, and the player's name was Saeed Vesin. He was an ex AC Milan youth product. Also played for Benevento as well. Like I said, he ended up passing away. He was adopted by an Italian family. He's originally from Ethiopia, but like I said, he sadly took his own life due to racist abuse. And so, like I said, like Edward can tell you, most people can tell you, I do speak against, I speak on topics that deal with race, and that's just because of, it's an ongoing issue, and I know it's not going to end very quickly, but like I said, one of the things I do believe in order to get this done is that we have to address the issues, and I will always address the issues, and it's unfortunate that this happened to this young man. Like I said, 20 years old, that's, he had his whole life ahead of him. And unfortunately he's no longer here, and
rest in peace, because that's so sad. That's nothing to just, you know, guffaw about or scoff about. Like that's real. Like, you know, it does happen. It doesn't have to be in Italy. It happens all around the world and all different countries and everything. It's just, it's sad that people do feel that way because of, you know, racism, even though especially when it comes to the soccer world,
say no to racism. Yeah, as well. I definitely agree with that. But not only that, but obviously this also kind of pertains also to mental health. So that's also another thing that we would like to, I like to speak more on at some point, but I know a lot of people on Unhinged do speak on mental health, especially Time to BS definitely is someone that speaks on mental health. And obviously, you know, racial abuse was one thing, but obviously if he was able to speak to somebody, you know, who knows what could have happened for him. So obviously make sure that, take time, and if you need to speak out and you know, to help yourself, go and seek help. And then obviously those people that whenever someone comes to you in need of help, make sure you do take the time and listen, because you don't know how helpful that little bit amount of time just by hearing somebody speak can be very helpful. Like I said, rest in peace to Saeed Vesin. And so we'll go ahead and get going with the show, but we'll go ahead and take a very brief moment of silence.
Hector, what was your New Year's resolution?
Same one as every year, read more.
Why every year?
Well, with school and work, it is simply hard to find time to read.
What if instead of reading, you listen to someone read your books for you on Audible?
Audible?
Audible has a large library of audiobooks that you can listen to at your convenience. I like listening to my audiobooks on my way to work.
What if I don't like Audible?
You can start a 30-day free trial when you go to www.audibletrial.com/insertnamefcpodcast. You'll be supporting the Insert Name FC podcast along with finally getting that New Year's resolution done.
Thanks. Now I'm going to start a 30-day free trial.
And we are back. All right, Edward, here are some of the coaching rumors or changes that have been going since we did the last one, which, like I said, this will be more like a weekly thing from here on out, just because now we're kind of going into the soon going into the transfer window. I don't know if it's open yet, but we'll be hearing more news of players moving elsewhere, or unless they're just out of contract, and then they kind of are free to discuss, to talk to whoever they want. But here, along with players, there are changes with managers, because obviously if you didn't have a good season, you probably got fired, or if a manager had a really good year, they're probably going elsewhere. So here are some coaching changes or rumors. Laporta promises Koeman will stay. I know that's
so I mean, I was really hoping on that Xavi rumor, honestly.
I bet you were. So good news for me, Ancelotti is returning to Real Madrid.
Oh man.
This was a guy that I was very, it was a big head scratcher for me for when they chose to fire him. Obviously, he's the man that is responsible for La Decima. I think he has some, in my honest opinion, I believe he has some unfinished business. So I'm very excited to see Carlo Ancelotti back in Real Madrid. And to add things to it, Rafa Benitez is interested in the Everton job that obviously is now open. Conte is interested in Tottenham. Inzaghi to Inter Milan. It is official. He will be the successor for Conte. It's funny how all these are kind of connecting right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Like I said, kind of like what obviously we just said, like very early, that Laporta was promising on Koeman staying. Koeman will be staying in Barcelona. So that is official. And weirdly enough, we're coming back to this. Conte is possibly thinking about the MLS.
Wow. I don't know.
I think it's just probably because, like, Tottenham, I feel like Conte is more interested in Tottenham than Tottenham's interested in Conte, which is crazy to think because I think Conte is a very good manager. I know I've said my things that his tech is a little outdated, but, you know, he's still a really good manager. He's very solid defensively. Could be something that could help Tottenham personally just because him being defensively savvy. But, I mean, you know, if Tottenham is really focused on trying to bring back their boy Pochettino, I mean, what else can you say? But, so those are, as of right now, since we're recording right now on Monday, because remember, we record these on Mondays and we drop the episodes on Fridays. This is the as much as we have now as far as managers. Now, for transfer watch, Edward, Arsenal are interested in Tapsoba. Hakimi and Lautaro have a price, says the agent.
Ooh.
So there is a price. So these two could be leaving Inter Milan. Oblak could be leaving Atletico Madrid.
Wow. Well, I wonder where he would go. Like, I mean, he's a hell of a goalkeeper, so I'm pretty sure everybody's has his eye on
it. This is a straight-up luxury move. I think if you go get Oblak, because he's an instant upgrade, obviously not every team needs a... He's a world-class goalkeeper, and I think any team could use his services, but we'll see what happens there. But it's a possibility. I don't think that he necessarily wants to leave Atletico Madrid. I mean, he demands a legend right now in Atletico. But, obviously... I guess he won't be denying at least to listen to people's offers. But yeah, Arsenal and Tottenham are targeting our target. Tony is not for sale. So I believe he plays for Brentford. So I guess Brentford obviously are getting promoted to the English Premier League. So obviously they want to keep some of their players intact. And Tony is probably one of the guys that they don't want to leave. Manchester City to offer Sergio Ramos a 2-year deal.
What? That's just a rumor, though, right?
It is a rumor, but it's coming from some really big sources. So,
oh shoot! Damn. So, maybe that PSG super team won't happen.
We'll see. Arsenal target Buendia. Arsenal target Buendia has a $30 million price tag, or 30 million euros to be more specific, but price tag of 30 million euros. AC Milan to make an offer for Giroud. Arsenal are leading in a race for Sterling. I don't know who else is in this race, but apparently Arsenal's leading it. But from what I've been reading, it seems like Arsenal is the only team in the race for Sterling.
Yeah, right.
AC Milan are in talks to keep Tomori. So I believe Tomori is a loan player from Chelsea. So they're looking to bring Tomori, to keep Tomori. So, and I mean, he looks really good. He's really solid. So I definitely think that would be a good move for AC Milan. Nuno Mendes linked with Manchester City, Liverpool, Chelsea, and Manchester United. So,
That's
enticing.
Yeah, I mean, shit.
Ramsey to leave.
You were saying?
Ramsey to leave Juventus. I mean, that's no brainer. I mean, they have too many midfielders as it is. So,
yeah.
Not like a huge loss for Juventus, to be honest.
Right.
Matthew Cunha linked to Leeds United and Liverpool. Leeds United target DePaul. has a 40 million euro price tag.
Dang. That's for, wow. Can they even afford it now? I think they can. They can, right?
I'm sure they got some good money. Barcelona set to announce Emerson. So it looks like Sergino Dest will be having some competition at the right back spot at Barcelona. Yeah. PSG and Man City are favorites for Harry Kane.
Yeah, I read about that one.
So maybe the super team is not out just yet. Manchester United is interested in Trippier. Ajax goalkeeper who's currently facing a suspension, possible to Arsenal. It's an interesting move, especially because I don't know what they're going to do with Leno. Lukaku wants to stay in Inter Milan. Atalanta to keep Romero. I believe that was a player that they were loaning out. Were in the team loan, and I'm sure they're going to look to try to keep him. Luis Vasquez ends up signing an extension to 2024 with Real Madrid, but don't get too excited. I'm sure that there's still probably some transfer offers for Luis Vasquez.
Yeah, I was like, what the hell? I was like,
and the disrespect to this guy that I'm giving. But anyways, Dembele in no rush for contract, which is that's Barcelona's Ousmane Dembele. He's no rush for a contract. 70 million euros for Varane from Manchester United. Quite the offer. I mean, they do need a center back. It's a pretty big offer. Especially with Real Madrid trying to make some moves this offseason. Mbappe is very quiet on his PSG future. I mean, he's a big target right now for a lot of teams.
You may say a lot of teams, but everybody already knows that he's like basically the target for Real Madrid. Like, it's just he's the main one.
And I mean, if they have their eyes on Harry Kane, we'll see what happens there. Chelsea and Man City want Locatelli, which is a promising young center defensive midfielder from Italy. I believe right now plays for Sassuolo. Giroud and Silva extend with Chelsea. Carlos Tevez announces his retirement. So it's kind of a question mark because he kind of left it on a cliffhanger as well. So he might come back. This one's probably going to be more relieving for you, Edward. Well, now them to PSG. He ends up giving Barcelona the biggest psych in the world and ends up signing
really
with
big
and leaves for PSG. I'm sure you're not losing sleep on that.
Not really, but still, it was like, damn, like that is the biggest FU that you could think of. Like, basically, everything was all said and done, and all of a sudden, it's basically the, what was it, the Verratti move.
Yeah, basically.
It's like all over again.
Okay. Aston Villa beats Arsenal and gets Buendia from Norwich City for 35 million euros. Aston Villa beat Arsenal.
Wow, so basically we just squashed the transfer rumor that Arsenal target Buendia.
Lost to Aston Villa. From what I heard, Buendia actually has the same agent as Emi Martinez. And for those who don't know who Emi Martinez is, he's currently the goalkeeper for Aston Villa, but he was the backup goalkeeper for Arsenal. He was with Arsenal for a very long time, and then he was actually the goalkeeper that took over once Leno got injured last year. And obviously Arsenal made a pretty good run near the end of the English Premier League season and ended up winning the FA Cup and also was also the goalkeeper that won the Community Shield. So, I mean, Emi Martinez does have a lot of love from the Arsenal fans, but obviously he wants to be a starting goalkeeper, goes to Aston Villa and looks like a beast out there. And apparently, I guess the agent was like, okay, we're not touching Arsenal. Come to Aston Villa. So, I mean, but adding more into that, Arsenal are now in pursuit of Ruben Neves.
Ruben Neves.
Giroud hints at Milan move. The man just signed an extension with Chelsea and he is hinting at a possible move.
You can't really discount the guy, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I just don't know. But yeah, and then Leicester left back, who I believe is 35 years old, Fuchs. I'm not trying to say fuck, but I mean, it's kind of hard not to say fuck.
It's kind of hard. Yeah, it's
Fuchs. Yeah, let's go. Wait,
Where's he from?
I have no idea, but it does seem like a German or Eastern European name. German, more accurately, I'm getting. But anyways, he's going to Charlotte FC, so he's going to be the premier. I guess the big sexy signing for Charlotte FC is getting a 35 year old fullback. Okay, PSG saying that Mbappe will never be sold. I'm just kind of okay. That's a bold statement from PSG, but I mean, he could just not sign a contract with you, and then he could just leave and sign with whoever the fuck he wants. So better to get something for him than get nothing. So that's a bold statement from PSG side.
And then, I don't really think that they're gonna not sell him. There's no way that he's gonna be like staying there. I mean, when have you known that PSG has a player that stay there forever?
Exactly. You know, I mean, they had Ronaldinho at one point.
Yeah, but he was young. It wasn't like
that's what I'm saying forever. Though. Like, they're not necessarily a team that's like, oh, we're gonna retain our best players. I mean,
let's put it this way: they don't have a Messi, they don't have a Xavi, they don't have an Iniesta that they're bringing up.
Speaking of Messi, PSG going for Messi. I mean, this was a no-brainer. We've known this for a long time, but they kind of went ahead and brought that up again. Arsenal are pushing. Our top priority is to sign Odegaard, and we just found out that PSG made an offer to Gigi Donnarumma for 14.5 million euros a year contract. Donnarumma can really speak to whoever he wants. He can make a deal with whoever he wants because he's not contracted to any team, so he can literally hear out anybody. But it looks like PSG are going strong for him, which hurts my feelings because you guys all know at this point what goalkeeper I have been fighting for, to people to give him his respect and his dues. And a move like this clearly just says fuck you to Keylor Navas.
Yeah, I mean,
I get it. I would get a younger goalkeeper, may not, because Donnarumma is an instant starter, kind of similar to Oblak, even though Oblak has the experience. But this is a luxury move, and you know, like, and I hate saying that because obviously that means that he's instantly an upgrade to Keylor Navas, and unfortunately, he kind of is, and it's because of his age. I mean, Keylor Navas to me is a very solid goalkeeper, should be a starting goalkeeper anywhere he plays. But unfortunately, I mean, Donnarumma, with the fact that he's young and playing at a high level.
Go ahead.
Looks more likely that he's going to be the starting goalie. And weirdly enough, PSG going for another Gigi, another Italian goalkeeper with the name Gigi. Gianluigi.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Well, my thing was with this is, I mean, this young Gigi, you know, it's like you said, it's a luxury move. Do you think it's really cheap to get him for 14.5 million? Like, do you think so? Like, do you think that this kid at 22 years of age, it kind of lessens his value? I mean,
So here's the thing, though. At least with Gigi Buffon, I feel like he's definitely better than Kepa. Mm-hmm. So if logic would speak to me, I would assume he would be getting paid more than Kepa. But but I mean, the thing you can also throw in is that Donnarumma still hasn't really competed in that. I mean, he's competed in Europa League, but he hasn't competed in Champions League. So he hasn't necessarily gone in that big stage yet. And even this last season when he was in the Europa League with Milan, they faced Manchester United and then that was it. So I mean, they didn't really have a deep run. And so like you can throw maybe that argument that we haven't seen how this guy will handle in the bigger stages. I mean, we'll see how he does in the Euros, because obviously he should be the number one for Italy. But I mean, right now, and honestly, if I'm Donnarumma right now, I'd probably be waiting, because I mean, what happens if this is kind of a gamble as well. I mean, you can go into the Euros and have a bad Euros and you lose your value, or you go out there and you're the best goalkeeper in the tournament, and now your value increases. So it's a big gamble. I mean, I think that obviously this is not official, but it'll be interesting to see what happens with Donnarumma, just because he's Italy's future. Like he'll be competing in at least like 3 World Cups. Obviously, yeah. Italy qualifies, but maybe even more, because obviously goalkeepers, you kind of do want age with your goalkeeper. Not necessarily like being old, but I mean like experience is more valued in, as a goalkeeper as versus being younger. But we'll see how that goes, man. I mean, there's some interesting.
We'll keep an eye for sure. We'll keep an eye on that.
So that ends the transfer watch for this week. Once again, we'll be constantly doing these throughout the off season, just because it's gonna be pretty busy and the rumors are gonna be galore. But let's get going with these headlines, Edward. First off, and I don't even know, I can't believe we're actually starting with this. Necaxa has a new ownership group. I mean, they do. They still have the owner that they have, but someone swooped in to get some of this Necaxa, which is crazy to think, because Necaxa is I don't know. What do you want to call, what do you want to say, Edward, about Necaxa?
Well, I mean
Necaxa, Copa America, what was it, the Centenario? I think that's when they just got called up. They finally moved up into the first division in Mexico, back in Liga MX. I guess they win it. You know, they win it. This essentially was a buy them low, right? Like they're hoping that they can buy them low and then obviously reap the benefits of possibly being a contender at some point. But that's very hard, especially in Liga MX. But anyways, so this ownership group, I believe one of the owners from DC United also is part of this group. But these are like the names that like popped to me. Okay, maybe not one, but these names popped to me when I saw them. And so some people from the new ownership group for Necaxa is Eva Longoria, the actress, Desperate Housewives. She was in that Dora the Explorer movie.
Eva Longoria?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, so she's part of it. Mesut Ozil, obviously, if you guys don't know, he's a soccer player. He plays right now in Fenerbahce. He's been rumored with DC United, did play with Real Madrid, also played with Arsenal. So he has quite the resume himself as a player. Oh, yeah. Wonder if he's going to be one of those player owners. I doubt it. I think that's maybe, no, probably, I don't know. Basketball star Victor Oladipo, who currently plays for the Miami Heat. Justin Verlander of the Houston Astros. Say what you want about the Houston Astros. You know, but 2017 World Series champion Justin Verlander. I know this is going to piss off everybody on Unhinged Sports right now. 2017 World Series champion Justin Verlander. Also a multi-Cy Young winner. So I'm going to say Cy Young winner. I'm not going to say multi-Cy Young winner because I feel like I might be wrong there. But I feel confident enough to say multi-Cy Young winner. But yeah, so Justin Verlander. And also his wife Kate Upton is also part of the ownership group. So both of them invested on this team. And Bodie Miller, I think he does like snow, extreme snow sports, maybe like snowboarding. I didn't really read into this guy. But Bodie Miller. So them and some others went ahead and bought 50% of Necaxa. And they're actually offering something a little different. And that is they are offering 1% each to the public through NFTs. So basically what someone could do is that, and when they, all of them, once they made it official that they are now owners of Necaxa, they dropped it on social media and they also offered a link to go ahead and buy into Necaxa to get a percent share of Necaxa, which is from their stakeholder.
Right.
So anybody could go in and buy a share of Necaxa and obviously reap the benefits. I believe that you can get a discount on tickets, obviously apparel. I believe if Necaxa wins a championship, they're also giving them rings. So I tried. turns out that you have to at least have like $200,000 in your bank account.
Oh, wow.
So that's not me. Maybe one day.
That's 1%. Jeez.
I didn't get to continue because I'm like, obviously I'm not valued at $200,000. Wow. That just shows how little support I have for myself. I'm not worth $200,000. Anyway, this is getting depressing. Anyways. But anyway, so like I said, they were offering this to the public. The Mexican Football Federation denied it. Not the ownership part, the whole NFT thing. And it isn't because they think it's immorally wrong, because obviously Mexican Liga MX and Mexican football, you know, morals doesn't necessarily go hand in hand with those things, because we know about the corruption in Liga MX and all that good stuff that comes in that league. But it's because they did not get approval from the Mexican Football Federation. So they're not mad at them for wanting to do this. Maybe they thought this was, I mean, technically, I believe Santos Laguna, I think I mentioned it before, I do believe that the fans have some ownership as well of the team, or at least the city has ownership of Santos Laguna. I think that's what I read. But the thing that the Mexican Football Federation didn't like was because they didn't ask for approval before they can go ahead and do this. I'm sure they'll go ahead and make a proposal to the MFF. MFF, and I feel like I said too many F's initially, but basically they're gonna. I'm sure they'll make a proposal for them to approve it. Like I said, they're not like gonna disown this, because I think it's a really cool concept. It's gonna get people to watch Necaxa, especially if you have some stake in that. It's pretty cool. I think it's really cool to see this ownership group, and this is a really unique thing. I mean, not really necessarily unique, because there is like teams that do offer you to buy a share of the team. I believe Green Bay Packers do it as well, that, you can go and buy ownership of the Green Bay Packers. I don't know what they offer, but I know there's ownership of the Green Bay Packers. So, I mean, there's other teams that do these things where you can have a percentage of the ownership of a team. So, but it's cool to see it in Liga MX, and then obviously seeing these names is pretty cool. The fact that you're seeing Ozil affiliated with a team like Necaxa or Justin Verlander or even Eva Longoria is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And so I think if anything, it's going to help grow more people, more viewership in Liga MX. And that's what I'm liking to hear, because obviously me and you have said plenty of times that Liga MX is a very fun league and people should definitely check it out.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, hey man, the playoffs are always fun to watch. And if Necaxa makes the playoffs, that's awesome.
Yeah. All right. So the next headline. There's finally some sort of repercussion for this shit. I don't like that it's coming from one of my fan bases, but an Arsenal fan pleaded guilty on death threats. So a 19-year-old fan from Singapore, not going to say the guy's name. I don't want to put his stuff out there like that. I mean, technically, I am putting his stuff out there like that, but I'm just not going to put his name on it. And I'm sure you could probably just look it up yourself. So, I mean, but you didn't get it from me, is all I'm saying. You didn't get it from
me. Right.
But a 19-year-old Arsenal fan from Singapore sent death threats to Brighton forward Neil Mapai in June 2020. Now, to get some like kind of a reference to what happened, Mapai... He did some sort of slide tackle, which ended up leading to Leno being injured, which, funny enough, this is how, we talked about Emi Martinez like not that long ago. And here we are bringing back how Emi Martinez was able to get his value from Aston Villa. But, like I said, he injured Brett Leno. A lot of people were very angry about that. And then also kind of to throw insult to injury, I do believe he scored the game-winning goal, which Arsenal ended up losing that game to Brighton. So obviously this guy was angry, and instead of just like finding something positive to use that frustration on, he chose to do what everybody does on social media, and that is attack people on social media. Now, trolling people is one thing. I Edward can tell you, I troll a lot.
He does.
but I do not send death threats. There is a line, and when I feel death threats and racial slurs is where you cross it. I never go there. I just do it for fun. I never try to go political or anything when it comes to like me trolling, but this is where you draw the line. And I'm glad that there's finally someone getting its comeuppance, even though I wish it wasn't from an Arsenal fan base. But you know what? So here is what the guy is going to be facing. He could either face a 10,000 euro fine, or he can serve 2 years in prison. And judging the fact that he's a 19-year-old, I don't think he necessarily has 10,000 euros just lying around.
No. So he might as well just take that two-year
prison sentence. Yeah. So we'll find out in July, because that's when he will be sentenced. So we'll see what happens there.
All right.
But yeah, I will say, it's good to see that there's not, like, you know, obviously we've had a lot of people speak on like, social media abuse, specifically racial abuse, but obviously death threats is also something that needs to be, there should be a very high tolerance for. Low tolerance? Yeah. Zero tolerance. I don't know why I said high
tolerance. Zero tolerance.
There should be like zero tolerance on death threats. And I mean, let's face it, Twitter, social media is just a cesspool. It could be a very liberating and inspirational thing, but it also could be a cesspool.
Yeah.
But, and it's kind of funny how like next week we're actually going to interview somebody that works in social media. So this is definitely not a good look as for some of the questions that I have for this interview. But yeah, let's face it, social media could be a cesspool. So I'm glad that someone's getting their comeuppance. At least there's that. But yeah, so that's all I got to say, unless everyone want to add anything to that.
Not really, because like you said, I mean, I really think there should be no tolerance whatsoever for death threats. And
there's a line, and it's clear if you cross it.
I mean, there's no way.
So we were like, I guarantee someone's like, what if they're just joking about the death threat? Like, there's things you can make jokes on, and I just don't think telling someone to kill themselves.
Yeah. That's not a joke.
Joke around. Like, I mean,
you don't know. And honestly, like, I know, you know, you don't know
what that person is dealing with. So, I mean,
yeah. So maybe he's having his own little things going on at home, and you know, maybe football is out.
Exactly.
And then for all we know, next you know, he finds out that because of his football life, now people are wanting to kill him. They want him to kill himself. It's hard. Like, you know, it's hard to realize that. I mean, there's the whole thing about bullying at school, and at school it happened. So imagine this shit happening in the real world. I thought we were grown. So for that fan to do that, you know,
Yeah. All right, Edward. The next headline is Jordi Cruyff becomes an advisor for Barcelona.
Oh, yeah.
So if you guys find that last name very interesting, it's because, well, you should be, because that is the son of Johan Cruyff. Not only is Jordi Cruyff the offspring of one of the most legendary Barcelona players and managers, because let's face it, he's the guy that built La Masia. He's the guy that innovated the tiki-taka. Is that safe to say, Edward? Anyways, yeah. So Johan Cruyff, not only is that, but Jordi Cruyff played for Barcelona at some point. Not necessarily as like amazing as his dad.
Not like a big, big name.
He is an alumni of La Masia. He is a former Barcelona player. And it always helps especially if you're trying to bring back the Barca way, is by bringing someone who embraced the Barca way. And that is, of course, La Masia, building through their youth academy. You know, bringing guys in that are going to not only getting superior, like great athletes and great players, but making sure that you develop through youth and build the culture, and a culture that everybody's going to believe in. That's the Barca way. I know that I'm a Real Madrid fan, and how the fuck do I know the Barca way? Well, I'll tell you why, because I've been tortured by the Barca way. So
yeah,
if there's anybody that can speak on the Barca way, it's the guy that's been tormented by the Barca way.
Yeah. Exactly. So it's just
but and especially, I'll go ahead and step aside, Edward, go ahead.
Well, I mean, honestly, it's just with the Cruyff method, it was always, you know, trying to give the young players a chance, but not just any young players, not just buying the young player from another squad and stuff, but giving a chance to the guys that came out of the Masia and Iniesta, Xavi, Puyol, hell, Piqué came out of there, went to Man U, then came back. And I mean, dude, that squad was going, you know, hard. Hell, even I think the Spain squad that won the World Cup, I think it was like 8 players all together that were like forming Real Madrid and Barcelona, 8 or 9 players, just them, just together. So I mean, with La Masia going, and especially with having a midfield as strong as Iniesta and Xavi, and even Messi, you know, he was technically a product of Masia. He's the only one left, honestly. I mean, Pedri, you know, he's coming out of La Masia, but you don't know if they're going to rely on him as much. Ansu Fati, he's also part of La Masia. It's just little things here and there where it makes me think that with Jordi Cruyff at the helm, and or even not that at the helm, but he becomes an advisor. He could advise them to be like, you know what, let's bring in this young kid or this youth product from La Masia up. Let's give him a trial run. Let's say even in friendlies or in one of those international, you know, go around the world kind of cups. Even with this whole COVID thing going on, you know, it's it'll be fun to watch, to see this happen, if it does happen, because we're not entirely sure if Jordi Cruyff is actually like his dad, like Johan Cruyff, to bring the Masia. I'm hoping and I'm really expecting him to be that way, to bring back, you know, La Masia, the Barca way. Hell, for all we know, we're going to get back like that exceptional tiki-taka. They're going to find players. They're going to find the diamonds in the rough. And it's going to be, I mean, it could be amazing. It could be something that we get to see, to love, as a Barcelona fan, to fall in love with Barcelona all over again. Because, I mean, I love Barcelona, don't get me wrong, but it's kind of like, okay, it's kind of gotten stale because they're not playing the same way. They're not the same championship teams that you would expect. If they play the tiki-taka way now, it seems kind of off, because even the players that they have now, some of them, you know, they haven't been brought up on that tiki-taka. So it's just the dynamic of the club itself. You know, it could change. The entire thing could change. Mm-hmm. So it's just, I think Jordi Cruyff, like I said, if he has that same mentality as his dad and he's as an advisor, he could possibly bring back La Masia.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what you hope for.
I'm hoping for it, bro.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think this is, like I said, man, you know, Batman needs his Joker. So, I mean, Real Madrid, and it's funny how disrespectful we are still to Atletico Madrid, even though they just won La Liga. But, I mean, obviously, when you think of La Liga, you think of Barcelona, Real Madrid, because that's El Clásico, that's the rivalry. So, I mean, both teams need to flourish in order to really, for La Liga to be really successful, even though we see the value in a lot of these clubs in La Liga, maybe some don't because they have that English Premier League bias, but you know, you need your two giants. And I think obviously bringing Barca back to its glory, and it's not even like that long ago, but kind of going back to the Barca way, which is honestly, they've kind of gone way far off from that. But they can go back to it. I think it's only going to be good for Barcelona, and it's only going to increase the competitiveness for Real Madrid. So I think both need to coincide in order for La Liga to be very successful.
Yeah, exactly. And so maybe with this whole, let's put it this way, maybe with Mbappe going to Real Madrid, and that's going to be like the Real Madrid coming alive with Mbappe. And next thing you know, we need La Masia back. It'll be a fun games to watch now, you know, trying to bring out La Masia and training them just as like, you know, the first teams instead of just, oh, you know, we'll keep them, you know, in the academies and stuff. it'll be something to watch, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm excited now.
All right, man. Time for the debate. Like I said last week, we didn't have a debate topic. This week, it was only because we had a lot of shit to cover. But we do have a debate topic for this week, which is going to be ironic because this actually leads into our game previews and our game recaps. And it's kind of funny how this is what we're talking about. But
yeah.
Well, before we get to the debate topic, make sure you guys, it's going to be posted on our social media once again at InsertNameFC on Instagram and Twitter. You're going to see the post. Obviously, you are more than welcome to give us your 2 cents on the topic. And also, if you guys have an idea for a debate topic for a future episode, you can either send it to us in a personal message, once again, through Instagram and Twitter at InsertNameFC, or you can just put it in the post as well. So we'll be definitely looking for that. And obviously, if we do like the topic, we'll go ahead and have it for a future episode, but we'll even give you a shout out to let you guys know that we see you and we appreciate your guys' participation. But Edward, this topic, and it's a topic that has a lot of opinions. A lot of people view it. Some see the good in it, some see the bad in it. And mostly I hear negative things. But Edward, is the Nations League pointless?
I guess it just depends on where you look at it from. Because I'm pretty sure maybe Europeans or maybe some people, you know, think it is. But I guess since we're from here, CONCACAF, I don't think so. Like I think it's a good way to measure where you're standing.
So for those that are trying to figure out what exactly Nations League is, I'm sure everybody on Unhinged wants to know. But obviously, because the CONCACAF Nations League just finished and UEFA did their Nations League, I believe, in 2020, where Portugal ended up winning that one. And we'll get to the CONCACAF one. But essentially, what the Nations League is, it's kind of FIFA's way of having something competitive versus having friendlies. And so for those of you who want to know what a friendly is, it's basically just like an exhibition game that you schedule with another national team. So you can really pick any national team. Well, obviously the national team has to accept it. But, you know, like say the U.S. wants to, you know, they see their what group they're, like let's say the U.S. are in the World Cup. And in their group, they have to go up against Ghana, even though that's a country that they do see plenty of times. They have to face Ghana. And so to prepare themselves against a team from Africa, they would set a friendly with a team from Africa. Kind of similar, basically similar to the skill set of what Ghana would have. And then, you know, to test themselves, see how they fare against that team. Obviously, it's not going to be the same because, you know, obviously you won't know until you actually face that team. But you try to get at least something close to that team to prepare yourself for that. But it, during the regular season, you know, you don't have competitions in the international level. So you just do friendlies. So, I mean, sometimes it's just like maybe you want to test a formation out that you're kind of been intrigued on. For instance, you know, the U.S. against the U.S. when they played against Northern Ireland, they decided to try out a three in the back formation, you know, just to see how that would look. And obviously, you know, they won that game. But, it, you know, so you can test out formations. Maybe you can test out a player. You know, so, you know, sometimes, it's, you know, cause it's not, the stakes aren't high. Like it's basically to play for bragging rights, but also kind of just to see how your team is progressing as a national team. So FIFA wanted to make it a little bit more competitive, and that's when they brought in the Nations League. So there's incentive to actually win during the FIFA international breaks now. So that's kind of like the gist of what the Nations League is. It's just another competition and kind of in a way to replace friendlies. There's still friendlies still happen, but I think this is kind of like, let's move on from the friendlies and let's actually play games that mean something so we can, you know, see how that goes. But anyways, Edward, that's basically, I mean, Edward already knows Nations League, but I mean, that's what the premise of Nations League is. So what do you think, Edward?
I mean, I still don't think it's a waste. I honestly think But it's something, it's not a necessity. It's just a good thing. It's like, I guess, because like I said, if you get to see where you're at. It's kind of like, for example, let's say you play in real life semi-pro, you know, but then you go off and you go play with your friends, you know, in La Cascarita and stuff. And it's like training, practice, you know, and then let's say you and your friends go and play with some random people. It gets to, I guess you could say, it measures you up. Maybe to teams that you don't get to play as much as well, or, you know, if let's say we just kept the World Cup, you know, like that, just the World Cup in general, and then no other, games whatsoever, just World Cup qualifiers and the World Cup, you know, you wouldn't be able to be like facing off against some teams that you may want to measure yourself up to, because then you won't know where you stand, you know? I mean, that's how I see it.
So, I'm on the fence with Nations League. I mean, the thing I like about friendlies is obviously you can be a little bit more liberal with what you want to do. So, like, for instance, with the U.S. men's national team, if there's like a player that I want to, I don't want to necessarily put him out there in a real competitive situation, like obviously like a winner, you know, winner go home kind of situation. Try to think of a player. All right, like if I want to test out Julian Araujo against Denmark, like just to see how Julian Araujo would look against a European team, a national team from Europe, a friendly kind of gives, like it doesn't put a lot of pressure on the player because you know it's not gonna, there's no like real consequence. I mean, I do believe that the friendlies do judge, like the FIFA does judge that towards their FIFA rankings, but not, I don't think very heavily. But, you know, you can test out players or once again, test out formations. Whereas in a competitive situation, when you're playing in the Nations League, it's obviously win or go home, or however they set up their, that how each confederation sets up their Nations League. But I think specifically speaking as an American fan, a USA fan, because, you know, no offense to CONCACAF, but the competition isn't necessary. Like the US and Mexico aren't going to get better per se in CONCACAF. And I know this sounds so stupid and ignorant from me. If anything, it benefits more the smaller countries, for CONCACAF. Like, you know, this, you know, Guatemala now has a shot to like improve their situation, or El Salvador. So it does help those teams. And I think that's what FIFA was looking for in Nations League, was giving opportunity for those other countries that usually are like low in the FIFA rankings to kind of improve and give their shot to play against a better opponent and to get better. So I like that aspect, but obviously now it's like when you do your call-ups for these Nations League games, it's like, I can't be messing around. Like I got to bring in a team that's going to come in and win these matches that I got for Nations League so we could go on to the next round and obviously compete for the Nations League trophy.
I mean, I can see your point. I see your point. I don't know. I'm still, like, I guess you put me on the fence now. Damn it. Damn you in this debate.
But... I'll say that I think the Nation League isn't pointless. I think it does bring competition. Like competition is good. Like CONCACAF isn't going to get better unless they're competing. Like, you know, the CAF isn't going to get, like the African Federation isn't going to get better unless they compete. Like, you know, have a competitive setting for them. Same thing with CONMEBOL. You know, I mean, CONMEBOL is pretty competitive as it is, and UEFA, and even Asia and Oceania. Like they're not gonna get better if they're, because, you know, obviously, like I said, with friendlies, you pick who you want to, you know, you have to like approve who you're gonna face, and maybe not everybody wants to face a New Zealand or no one wants to face an El Salvador. No offense to El Salvador, but no one wants to face a Bolivia. Like, you know, so it gives those teams at least a better shot at least securing a better matchup. Maybe not for them, but I mean, a matchup that at least is going to test them. So I think for the sake of that, I think it does benefit the smaller countries. And I mean, it does benefit the larger countries. Like, it will benefit USA and Mexico if CONCACAF gets better, because if CONCACAF doesn't get better, then obviously they're just kind of like they're a big fish in a small pond.
Yeah.
So I mean, like, it does mean something when CONCACAF gets better and gets more competitive, because that means that if Mexico and USA are able to get better in a better confederation, then that just kind of solidifies how good those national teams are.
Yeah, that's true. So I mean, yeah, like I said, I mean, you kind of put me on the fence now, but I'm still leaning more towards, you know, it's not a waste. It's not pointless. Like, I think, like you said, it creates competition, and even I said that, like, it makes you stand. It makes you see where you're standing. So it lets you, I don't know, switch things around with the roster. Because then at this point, you know, if you go so long without bad friendlies and competitions such as these, then you won't know who to put at a certain position. Maybe they're on a rut. You know what I mean?
So yeah, so I agree. Like I said, guys, go ahead. And like I said, at this point, the post is there. You can go ahead. If you're listening to this right now, whether you're listening through this to Spotify, Apple, or Pandora, or all the other major podcast platforms, or if you're listening through unhingedsn.com, which, first of all, hi. I told Jim this is going to be a constant thing. But if you guys are hearing this right now, it is available right now on our social media. Once again, at InsertNameFC on Instagram and Twitter. The post is going to be right there. So if you guys do feel it's pointless, go ahead and tell us, share us your thoughts. And then obviously, if you do think that there is a point to it, then go ahead and also share your side. And once again, if you guys have an idea for a debate topic, go ahead and either send us a personal message, once again, on Instagram and Twitter at InsertNameFC, either a personal message, or you can respond on that post as well. And if we like the topic, we'll go ahead and feature it on a future episode, and we'll give you a shout out as well.
Yes, sir.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and take a break, and then we're going to go into game recaps and some really, really good stuff. So,
bro, where did you get that sick jersey?
What, this thing? I got it at Fanatics.
Fanatics?
Yeah, Fanatics. It is a one-stop shop of all things sports. They sell jerseys, hats, shirts, jackets, and much more. You can go to our bio on Instagram and Twitter at InsertNameFC. You'll see our link tree to Fanatics. When you go shop on that link, you will not only be getting some fresh gear, but you'll also be supporting InsertNameFC and the Unhinged Sports Network.
I'm going to go start shopping now.
I'm going to go start shopping now.
And we are back. We want to go ahead and thank that great partner of ours and make sure you guys take full advantage of that so we could, I don't know, make this our permanent job.
So. Yeah.
All right.
No, I'm not like, I was going to say, I was like, make it our permanent job. Come on, guys. Let's do it.
All right, Edward. Games to recap. What is your game to recap?
Okay, so my game to recap is actually the game we talked about a little bit about it earlier, but it's actually the final on the Nations League Cup for the CONCACAF. It's U.S. versus Mexico, which it was a very, very, very intense match, a 3-2 win for U.S. And it was intense. It was a really intense matchup. Like, it really was. I was honestly on the edge of my seat the whole time. Now, I stayed up late to watch it, you know? So yeah, that's going to let you know.
I think we all were. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I didn't drink a lot, okay? I'm not like a real heavy drinker, but I mean, I usually my rule is like, okay, the game's about to be over, I'm going to stop drinking. And then it went to extra time, so I was like, okay, well, now I have an excuse to keep drinking. So that's basically what happened, but no, it was a great game. Like Edward said, I was on the edge of my seat. I love this rivalry between USA and Mexico. Even though it's fairly favored one-sided, usually. But the rivalry is there. Obviously, USA always wants to prove themselves against Mexico. Mexico feeling that CONCACAF is kind of laughable. And obviously, we've heard the rumors of them wanting to move to CONMEBOL. But
yeah,
this rivalry is just so good. And for the people, like, okay, I don't know about you, Edward, but I know for myself, I love the energy that the Mexican fans give to every single game. And I know that comes with some heavy baggage, because obviously them getting rowdy, the alleged discriminative phrases that they use. Look, I get it. The whole, when they do goal kicks and they yell out puto, I get that can be a little homophobic, even though puto is bitch. That's what it means. Puto means bitch in Spanish. Well, it also can mean something else, but like it's all in context when it comes to these like Spanish words. But the direct translation of puto is bitch. When they scream out culero, I'm not going to say what that word translates to in English, but I will say, I think everyone can agree that it is a homophobic slur.
Yeah. I want to say it's just saying somebody's gay, like, you know, take out their ass kind of shit.
Yeah. So once again, so culero, I get it. That I can maybe live without is hearing culero puto. I'm not necessarily like, oh my God, like, you know, end it, you know, but culero, I'll definitely say maybe that could be a little bit drawing the line. But they're hostile. Like that's what, like, and that's even going, it's not like they do this only towards the US or other like countries. They do that with their own. Like they do that in Liga MX. Like the energy that the Mexican fans bring is something like out of this world. I do know that they go a bit above and maybe a little too radical for some people. I know the whole throwing their beers at the players. Like I get that there's certain things that people don't
they're
like.
It's an intense. Let's just put it this way. It's an intense atmosphere.
As weird as like some of the things that they do is a little bit off, I love it. Like I love the energy that the Mexico fans bring. Like they cover the stadiums. I mean, I was there for the 2019 CONCACAF Gold Cup final, Mexico versus USA. There was literally one section in all of Soldier Field in Chicago that was US. Everything else was a sea of green with some white spots.
Yeah.
Like USA, the US fans, like this is my little, like, I guess, public service announcement to US fans. If you don't want Mexico to have takeovers like this, go to the games.
Yeah.
Most of the Mexico fans are coming from Mexico to watch these games. They travel to the US, they travel to Japan, they travel to South Africa, they travel to Russia for L3. Like, hate them all you want, but they bring it. Like, I mean, people love the Mexico fans. Like, I know that there's other countries that respect Mexico fans because they bring it. Like, that's passion. I understand that there's some things that they say that's a little bit over the line, but that's what comes with L3. Like, that's the passion that you want. And I love that how much the energy these guys, the U.S. men's national team players brought. They wanted the smoke. You saw them the fact that Christian Pulisic faced the Mexico fans and gave them the shush and, you know, even embraced getting the beers thrown at them. Like, I was like, fuck yeah. Like, I was like, let's do this. This is how you bring the rivalry back. Bring this rivalry up to where it should be. Like, I found it entertaining. This is the rivalry. Like, we tweeted that on social media literally after, like, this is the rivalry. This is the game. This is what we want. I want more of this. Like, I want to see more of this. And I can't, this is kind of basically like a preview of what the Gold Cup should be coming. Because this was a good game. Yeah. Like, it was a little rough at the beginning. It was rough at the beginning. But, and that's the thing I like. The mentality was there. They didn't give up. They kept fighting. They always answered back. And that was the best part of that game, Edward.
Yeah, I mean, it was a very intense matchup. And I agree. Like, that right there, just the game changer. Honestly, the stop. From the goalkeeper, the penalty stop from the goalkeeper when Guardado shot it,
Horvath.
Yeah. I mean, 25 years old, and for him to do a play like that, that was intense. Like, everybody was just excited when that happened.
Now, to be fair, though, it wasn't the best games for both these teams. This wasn't the Mexico that me and Edward usually see. And this definitely wasn't the U.S. that we used to see. Like I said, it started very slow for the U.S. I feel like the theme here was capitalizing on mistakes.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously Mexico scored the first goal, like in the first minute they scored a goal, which was off a mistake from Mark McKenzie. Just a very poor pass. That's not something you can, especially a player like Tecatito, you can't give that to him because he's going to capitalize on it. And he did. I don't think Zach Steffen could have really stopped it. I think that was just, it was an awkward angle. Props to Tecatito for kicking that, because it's a weird angle, not only for the keeper, but for the guy that's shooting. That's an awkward angle. Yeah. And he got in the back of the net. It could have been 2-0. Obviously, VAR found it to be offside, so that was beneficial to VAR. Was also kind of entertaining to watch, also, by the way, in this game. But Giovanni Reyna comes in, scores the first goal for the U.S., and also a very, very defensive error from Mexico, because Antuna just stood still.
Yeah.
When he should have, like, in hindsight, like, I mean, I'm glad that Antuna made the mistake. And I'll say this. I like Antuna. I think Antuna's a really talented player, but he's overhyped. Yeah. I think it's just because of the fact that he was part of Man City or something like that. But now he plays for Chivas. Probably. But he's overhyped. I've heard a lot of Mexican fans that are kind of tired of Antuna. But the thing I have to say is he should have moved away. Like, if he would have, you know, obviously moved where to make Gio Reyna offside, he's the reason why the goal happened. Like, if he didn't stay still, if he actually put himself in a position where he got Gio Reyna to be offside, the goal wouldn't have happened. And who knows how that game would have turned out. But because of him just being flat out an idiot, you know, Gio Reyna, and I mean, it's great to see that that our big star, like the big guys that we're hoping could be something for the U.S. men's national team, are the ones that scored in this game. And Gio Reyna was definitely the guy, to me, has been the best player in Nations League for the U.S. That's also including in the semifinal against Honduras. I think our best player has been Gio Reyna, in my opinion.
Yeah, he was doing this dribble, and man,
he was fighting every single play. I felt like he was fighting in it, and I was so mad when they subbed him for Sebastian Legette. But I mean, you know, we still got the win. But yeah, that goal happened. And then, man, I will say the only thing, and as much as I don't hate the guy, like I love Tim Ream, but I think Tim Ream is kind of done, because Tata was definitely exposing that area where Tim Ream was, and clearly when he takes out Antuna to bring in Diego Llanes. And literally as soon as he steps on the field.
Diego Llanes?
Llanes. I think Llanes, because I thought it has two L's. But no, I think it's one. Yeah, you're right. It's one L. But Diego Llanes, he goes in there. Literally, as soon as he comes in, scores a goal. And what did you know? Tim Ream was the guy he was going up against. Like I said, defensive errors. And then also set pieces. I think the U.S., obviously, their two goals, their two on the field goals, was obviously off of corner kicks, which I'm glad to see Christian Pulisic and Gio Reyna being the guys that are doing the set pieces. I think that those should be our guys. No offense to Sebastian Legette, just I think Gio Reyna and Christian Pulisic have a better delivery of the ball. But that was great. And then obviously the penalty. In your opinion, do you think that was a penalty for Christian Pulisic?
I'm sorry, what was that? It cut off a little bit.
I said for the penalty, like, do you believe that was a penalty for Christian Pulisic?
The one that Christian Pulisic took?
What led to the penalty, like the penalty that was given.
Honestly, yes, I do, because he actually put his foot. Like, if you look at the replay, I was watching the replay the whole time. At first I was like, no, he got all ball. I was actually like, I don't think that was a penalty. But then when you see that his leg touched his body first, like his left leg, and then with his right leg, he used his right leg to kick the ball. Mm-hmm. So it was like kind of like he pushed him. The ball was basically in motion and he had already hit Pulisic. And then that's when he kicked the ball with his other foot, as in a way to try to put his stance. Kind of looked like it was all ball.
Yeah, sure. But I mean,
it all happened in a very split second. So if you look at it, his leg does hit. He crosses his body first. Then in that same motion, it's like literally the ref had to slow it down so he could see it. And then that's when he was like, okay, it's a penalty. I was like, okay, I agree. So I was like, okay, I agree. You know, I was like, I don't think that's a penalty. But I was like, I don't know why they're checking the bar. I was like, I think that was all ball. Man. And sure enough,
but when they were doing the whole VAR thing, you had like the benches huddling over to see what the ref is looking at.
Everybody,
I believe that's when Tata Martino got the red card.
He got, because he went and grabbed him from the shoulder. He kind of like, I think he was trying to say, hey, man, what's up?
It got physical in this game. Like, really physical. I love seeing what DeAndre Yedlin and Weston McKennie, first of all, Hector Herrera should have gotten a red card at some point. Two prime opportunities where he should have got a red card. I think one for trying to strangle Weston McKennie. And then obviously when he had studs up, actually, I guess technically he could have gotten an instant red card with the Ethan Horvath situation where he slid tackled him.
Actually, he deserved a yellow card on that one.
Okay.
Because
I wasn't sure. I thought I felt like I saw studs up, but then I was like,
no, it was studs up. But what saved him from getting a full red card is as soon as he got to the ball and he saw Horvath there, he kept his knee inside, like in towards his torso. So he didn't stretch his knee out. If he would have stretched it even just a little bit and you would have seen he actually went to go hit him, then yeah, you would have been like, okay, that's a straight red. But he went slid, and then when he was going sliding, I mean, you can't really stop yourself from sliding in motion. Then he kept his leg inside. Like, he tried to go for the ball, but when he saw the goalie already down on the floor, he kind of left his knee towards his chest, so he kind of, you know, scrunched up a little bit, kind of like doing a crunch.
Okay, but yeah, so seeing that, and then obviously the one that he tried to strangle Weston McKennie, which I guess nobody saw that, except for people that are watching it through the TV. and then obviously when it was studs up again with Tim Weah, but like going back to that Horvath situation. Because as soon as that happened, the first person I saw was DeAndre Yedlin coming in and protecting his goalkeeper and standing up for him. And then you saw also Weston McKennie, like, they wanted the smoke. Like, these guys wanted this. This was the rivalry. You saw people throwing. You know, you got Chucky Lozano also getting in there. Like, it got pretty physical. Like, the rivalry's there. I loved every minute of this game. But obviously, to have Gio Reyna score a goal, Weston McKennie scoring Weston McKennie was also a contributor to that Gio Reyna goal, I believe. But like, you know, to have those two score goals, and then of course having your Captain America, Christian Pulisic, to come in and I mean, at the beginning, Christian Pulisic was very quiet. Like, I don't think he had the game that, I mean, most American fans want to see. But I mean, he came in when everybody needed him, and obviously that was to score that penalty. Top bins. Like, there was no way Ochoa was going to get that. But, I mean, the true hero of this game, even though I believe man of the match was given to Weston McKennie, the true hero of this game was definitely Ethan Horvath to come in in the second half for an injured Zach Steffen and takes over. And, I mean, to be honest, like, even though, you know, obviously they lost to Switzerland 2-1 in the friendly where he started, it wasn't his fault that they lost, because he was really good against Switzerland. And he comes in and he reassures everybody why he's really that good and come in and finish the game, had some good saves. I mean, obviously he gave up a goal to Diego Llanes, but comes in, does a really good job. And then obviously has the game winning save. Cause obviously that was near the end of the game. So if Andres Guardado scored that goal, they would have gone to penalties, and who knows how that would have ended. Even though the fatigue was clearly there on both sides. But I would say Mexico probably had the advantages because they still had like two substitutes during the extra time. But
honestly, even in paper, Mexico had the advantage on paper. So let me see this. Okay, so Mexico had 57% of the possession, and they even outshot them 21-14. But the funny thing about that is 7 shots were on target for each team. So out of those 21 shots, you know, 7 of those were on target for Mexico, and 14, basically half of those shots were on target for the U.S.
Yeah, man. So this game was just a really great game. I feel like we can go give this whole game like 30 minutes to it, but we don't want to do that. So, but great game, and obviously USA ends up winning the first CONCACAF Nations League title. Obviously, this is a big boost for this team. It was an ugly game, but it was a beautiful game. I had so much fun. The fact that this overshadowed the Logan Paul and Floyd Mayweather fight.
Yeah, dude. Honestly, I didn't even have any idea until I started checking on Facebook and stuff. I was like, "What the hell? There's a fight today?"
Yeah, this was better than the Floyd Mayweather Logan. I mean, it should.
There was a better fight there than there was in the fight itself.
Yeah. So, and once again, the iconic image of just Christian Pulisic taking his shirt off with the shushing the Mexico fans and then tossing the beer. And also, funny, the thing that I found so funny was when the Mexico fans were tossing a beer and one of the beers landed on the face of Araujo.
Yeah, it was actually a Mexican player.
That was kind of ironic.
It was a full beer too.
It was like
they just popped it open.
Araujo hit, like, he, you saw him like checking his face, because I mean it was a pretty full beer. But like I said, man, like, I understand that people don't want that kind of, but that's the energy that Mexico fans bring. I loved it. I know that that's going to be a different take from others, but I was all for it. I love what the energy the Mexico fans bring. It's always entertaining. That's what makes the rivalry. And then I guarantee you, even though it sucked for Mexico fans to see their team lose, you know, props were given to the U.S. because that was a battle, and that was a great battle.
It was. It really was. I was really surprised.
Yeah.
But, all right. So what's your game to recap?
Well, I got the Houston Dash beating Kansas City 1-0. So for people that don't know about Kansas, you guys remember one of our, I think it was actually our first episode when we talked about the Utah Royals owner getting kicked out for being inappropriate. Well, they moved to Kansas. The Utah Royals ended up moving to Kansas City and became Kansas City. So there's a little update on that one. But yeah, Houston Dash beat Kansas City 1-0. Kansas City had 52% of the possession. The shots were even 14-14. And the only goal that was scored was from defender Katie Naughton, which it was one of like their big signings that they had when obviously going into the Challenge Cup last year. To have Katie Naughton kind of be that leader in the backfield and comes up big for the team and scores a goal. You know, Houston Dash trying to get back in form and getting some wins under their belt, especially when some of their players are going to be leaving for international duty pretty soon. So, I mean, this is a big boost for the Houston Dash. And they also just got a player on loan, Maria Sanchez, who plays for Tigres, the women's Tigres team, who actually did win their league like not that long ago, and then comes to the Houston Dash. So, just great win for the Houston Dash. Get some more wins because, you know, definitely want to see them do well in the NWSL.
Yeah, all right. I mean, I personally didn't see the game, but it sounds like it was pretty badass. I mean, Houston Dash winning. Yay, yay.
Yep. And also a beautiful, it was off of a corner. Funny how a lot of corner kicks are being scored here in these game recaps. But it was an assist by Christy Mewis, who once again looks amazing, and can't wait to see her play for the U.S. Women's National Team as well. So, yeah, those are games to recap. All right, Edward, Players of the Week.
All right, so my Player of the Week, and we're going back to that U.S.-Mexico game, Ethan Horvath, because he comes in as a sub after Zach Steffen ends up getting injured. He injured himself, by the way. His knee, I believe it was. Don't know the condition of him right now, but it's like, damn, like, you know, it kind of makes you think, would Zach Steffen actually stop that penalty? Because that was the penalty that saved the U.S. from going into basically extra penalty time, you know? So, I mean, it was an intense, like I said, and then he actually did some good stops, not just the penalty, but he did some badass stops where I was like, oh, wow. Like it was intense. It was really intense. And I'm pretty sure the adrenaline was getting the better of him also at the end of the game. Like just the adrenaline after that penalty, I'm pretty sure he was all hopped up until that whistle blew.
And I feel like hopefully Zach Steffen it will be fine, but I think that if in case he can't compete in the Gold Cup, I feel like Ethan Horvath is the guy to go. And depending on how he does in the Gold Cup, and I mean obviously he just had like a stellar performance here, this could mean that he could be going elsewhere. Like this guy needs to go somewhere and be a starting goalkeeper. So hopefully we get to see that for him, because I definitely would love to see him be a number one somewhere. And this could bring some competition for Zach Steffen, especially if Zach stays being the number two goalkeeper for Man City to Ederson. The fact that he's playing regularly and competing regularly, that could benefit Ethan Horvath to be at least competing for that number one spot with Zach Steffen.
Yep, exactly.
And that's not necessarily a bad thing to have a goalkeeper competition. That just shows how good quality these goalkeepers are for the U.S.
That means that there's depth. It's like, and you could say that we're back to the Casey Keller kind of goalkeeper. You know what I mean?
Casey Keller and Tim Howard and Brad Friedel.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that.
So, yeah.
All right. My player of the week is, and I'm going to the USL, and that is Elvis Amo, who scores a hat trick in Rio Grande Valley Toro's 4-2 win against Miami FC.
All right.
Giving some love out there in the Valley, also part of Texas. Shout out to all my friends that actually are part of the Rio Grande Valley Toro's. My good friend Ronnie, she does the media stuff for the Rio Grande Valley Toros. So shout out to her. So gotta give some love to the Valley. Definitely want to go to one of their games because their stadium is beautiful and it just looks like a fun atmosphere. And I saw the food selection there. Yes, this is me being a fatty, but the food looks good. The food looks good. So we definitely want to hit up Rio Grande Valley for a Toros game because it looks like a fun atmosphere. I really do think Edinburgh and the Rio Grande Valley area is very underrated. I actually, we actually went down there for a wedding and like it's really pretty. Like I like that area. So definitely. So shout out to Elvis Amon. And obviously, like I said at the beginning, we were hoping to have Kelsey here. Obviously, he's not because he's not. You've been hearing Kelsey talk right now. He did give us a player of the week, and I'm going to respect that as Lucas Nemcha, who currently plays at Anderlecht, I believe in Belgium. He scores the game-winning goal for Germany U21's 1-0 win against Portugal's U21 team. So, the fact that obviously we don't have Euros yet and all that, so we don't have like a lot of options, but I mean, this gives us a chance to highlight some other players. So this was a really cool one. And obviously getting to look at the USL, something I've wanted to try to do. You guys see me go with some off the wall players. So obviously from kind of from Brentford, but just it's cool to see the other leagues and give them some shine as well.
Yeah. That's good, bro.
Congratulations to Ethan Horvath, Elvis Amon, and Lucas Nemcha for being our players of the week.
Yeah.
All right, Edward. The 2020 Euros. Yes, you heard that right. The 2020 Euros. For those who don't know, obviously last year we were supposed to have the Euros. It was postponed due to, this thing called COVID. I don't know if you guys knew about that, but yeah, so that happened, which ended up postponing the Euros to now 2021, which it kicks off this amazing summer of soccer. We already had the CONCACAF Nations League kind of do its thing, and I think it did not disappoint. And now we're going to go into the Euros. It's a fun tournament. I love watching this tournament, obviously because this is, UEFA. But yeah, it's done every 4 years, similar to the World Cup. It actually kind of is like World Cup 2 years later, Euros. So it's a pretty fun tournament. Obviously you have Italy, you have Europe. So you have like the players that play regularly in obviously the European leagues. So a lot of fun stuff. But we're gonna go ahead and look at the groups. We're gonna, me and I will pick who we think could win the group, and then we'll even give you guys our thoughts on the group of death and who could be our favorite to win the Euros. So, Edward, Group A, Italy, Switzerland, Turkey, and Wales.
Okay. Italy.
Yeah, I'm with you on Italy. I think this was, the consensus was very simple on this one. I think Switzerland's going to be a fun team. Turkey and Switzerland could be the matchup, I think. But for those who want to understand how the Euros work, the top two teams in each group advance to the knockout round. And then the four best third place teams also advance to the knockout rounds. So I think we could see Turkey moving on as well, moving on to the knockout round. I think they could definitely clinch at least that fourth spot as far as the third place teams. All right, Group B, Belgium, Denmark, Finland, Russia. I'm not going to lie, man. I kind of like this group. It's not, there's some good teams. But I think these are teams that maybe maybe not Finland, but like Belgium, Denmark, and Russia, so there's some really good teams that are pretty consistent. So I can't wait to see this group specifically. I wouldn't say they're the group of death, in my opinion, but it's a really good group.
Yeah. So this one, I guess maybe Belgium. I'll say Belgium because they got Lukaku.
I'm going to be boring and pick Belgium as well. Maybe some people think I'm going to say Russia, but I wouldn't sleep on Denmark, and that's because of Peter Schmeichel. So, yeah, Denmark definitely has a top goalkeeper, and that could make things easy for that attack. And, I mean, maybe we could see something from Christian Eriksen as well. But Belgium, I think, is a strong, heavy favorite in that group. All right, Group C is Austria, Netherlands, North Macedonia, and Ukraine. I'm gonna say the Netherlands. I think the Netherlands are back. It's a safe bet. But the Netherlands are back. I like what this team has. I think it's pretty safe to say that it's Netherlands group to win.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, Group D: Croatia, Czech Republic, England, and Scotland. I'm gonna say this for English fans. I know Croatia has been a pest. Obviously, they're the ones that eliminated you in the semifinals of the World Cup. but I gotta say, I like England in this group. I think England looks, I feel like they've gotten better since the World Cup. Probably just the quality of players that they have. But I'm liking England to win this group.
England, yeah. I agree. Because I have to really think about it. Because I'm like, I've been seeing some stuff about England. But yeah, England looks like to be the stronger one on there.
All right. All right. Group E, Poland, Slovakia, Spain, Sweden.
Ooh. Mm. Spain.
Yeah, I'm with Spain too. Poland and Sweden could be a fun matchup.
This could be the dark horse teams.
I think
only because of Lewandowski.
I feel like Sweden could definitely be could go into the knockout round, but being that one of the, like I said, top four third place teams, I think that they look really good. And then the final group, Group F, France, Germany, Hungary, Portugal. I feel so sorry for Hungary. And I know we were going to save this for later, but let's face it, this is a group of death. This is the group of death. You have the 2018 World Cup winner, the 2014 World Cup winner, the 2016 Euros winner. You got three champions in your group. Obviously, time is gone, but Germany looks a lot stronger now, especially with some of the young players that are coming out of there. Portugal, I feel like they have found some sort of golden generation with some of the young players they have. Hopefully, João Félix can find himself. France is just not fair. France is just not fair. So, this is a group of death. And this is really hard to pick. But I'm gonna say Germany. I think Germany is the winner of this group.
Yeah, I mean, Germany is just a freaking powerhouse, dude. Like, it's just ridiculous how strong they are.
Yeah, so we're both going with Germany. As for me, I'm gonna say Group of Death is Group F. I think you're gonna. Yeah, the consensus of Group F is Group of Death.
It's like pretty much we both agree.
Yeah, so this is just a hard group. I feel sorry for Hungary. France, Germany, and Portugal are gonna move on to knockout rounds. I mean, that's gonna happen. But just, I'm so sorry for Hungary. They might not win a game. But Edward, just looking at all these teams, who's your favorite right now to win the Euros?
France.
Okay. Rich kid. Rich. Yeah. I mean, Benzema wants to make a statement. Maybe winning the Euros could be that thing. They should have won the 2016 Euros, but Portugal had other plans in mind.
Yeah, right.
Looking at this, man, I'm going to go with England. It's coming home. I love, Southgate, I know, has been criticized a little bit, but I like the players that they have. This is their chance to make a statement. They look really good in the World Cup. Can they continue that form and get some silverware? And I think this could be England's best shot right now, especially with the players that they have. Because I mean, in the World Cup, they didn't have Jadon Sancho. That's a big difference maker. You got him and Harry Kane up top. That's huge for them. I feel like this is a good chance for them. It's gonna be fun to see Jadon Sancho here in this international level in a big stage like the Euros. I can't wait to see it for sure.
Oh yeah, hands down. That's gonna be something really exciting.
Yep. So there you guys go. That is the our preview for the 2020 Euros that are gonna be in 2021. And the next one is the 2021 Copa America. This actually is supposed to be this year. So,
yay.
It's going to be hosted by Brazil, even though the host countries were going to be Argentina and Colombia, but it's now going to all be in Brazil. So here are the groups. This is a little bit different from usually. They usually have three groups, but they're going to have two groups of five. And the top four advance. So basically two teams get eliminated in the group stages. So in Group A, which is the South Zone, it's going to consist of Argentina, Bolivia, Uruguay, Chile, and Paraguay. Who do you think is going to win this group?
Oh, this is a good one. Damn. Honestly, it's pretty hard to pick. I'm going to go with Bolivia.
What?
Oh, I'm sorry, Argentina. I'm so sorry.
I was reading
Bolivia, but I meant Argentina.
Okay. I'm with you. I got Argentina as well. All right, so Group B is the North Zone. So essentially, obviously, if you guys realize that Colombia and Argentina were supposed to co-host this tournament, and now that I'm looking at how these groups are placed, now I understand why Argentina and Colombia were going to be the hosts, because they were obviously Group A was going to play in Argentina and Group B was going to play in Colombia, because it's the North and South. But in Group B, you have Colombia, Brazil, Venezuela, Ecuador, and Peru. This might be the group I don't want to be in.
It's actually a good group. I mean, don't take out Peru just yet, man. They're capable. This is actually this was the one. I guess you could say if we had to choose one or the other of Group of Death. I mean, I want to say.
I think
Group B,
because I would say don't sleep on Ecuador. Venezuela has gotten better and better. Peru is getting better and better. Brazil is Brazil. Colombia is Colombia. So I mean,
Without James Rodriguez, like they can still.
It's a very competitive group. When I look at this, I gotta go with Brazil. Not only that, but because it's in Brazil, they look good at home. We saw that happen with the 2019 Copa America, where, you know, Brazil was the host and Brazil won the whole damn thing. So I wouldn't expect anything less from another good performance by Brazil in their own country. But who's your favorite?
For all together? Argentina. Just because I feel that
does
Brazil...
Does Messi finally do it?
He could probably redeem himself for that penalty that he missed all those years ago.
I mean, there's no Gonzalo Higuaín, so there's... That's got to mean something, right?
Oh, man, dude. I still can't believe that. That would have been the win.
I just gotta say, I think once again you're in Brazil. I'm sorry, but Brazil. I think Brazil does it. I hope it's Brazil Argentina. I mean, I would love that to be the final, but yeah, I think Brazil wins the Copa. I think they're my favorite to win the Copa America.
All right. Okay.
So there's our preview. We'll definitely give you guys updates as we move on to the next rounds of these tournaments, and then obviously at the end of these tournaments we'll have the Gold Cup. So, it doesn't end for us here. All right. Games to preview. These are just some games to be looking out for this coming days. And that is Argentina versus Chile. Obviously, a Copa America matchup. England versus Croatia. We kind of mentioned a little backstory between these two already. And for you MLS lovers or people that want to get into the MLS, I believe there's only one game really going on for the MLS. And that is Sporting Kansas City versus Austin FC. Last time they met, Sporting Kansas City won 2-1. Sporting Kansas City have scored 15 goals, where Austin has only scored 5. I'm just going to say Sporting Kansas City is probably going to win this game. I don't know if they'll have Pulido back. I know Pulido was playing for Mexico. I don't know if they'll have him, if he'll be in good condition to come in and play instantly, but that's something to factor in. But I'm going to go ahead and say Sporting Kansas City still wins it.
Yeah. I guess I'll give the underdog, maybe because it's just a Matthew McConaughey thing, but I'll give Austin FC the benefit
All right, so that's game previews. We're gonna go ahead and take a break, and then we're gonna wrap things up with 3 up, 3 down.
Hey, it's Hector.
Yo, this is Edward,
and we are Insert Name FC.
Listen to us discuss news, recaps, and preview games from across the world of soccer.
Catch us on unhingedsn.com.
Hello? We're sorry. The number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
We will see you there.
And we are back. All right, Edward. 3 up, 3 down. And today's topic is songs that get stuck in our heads. Everybody's dealt with this before. There's always like, you're just chilling and all of a sudden, bam, this song just pops up. Sometimes you like it, sometimes you don't. That's why we have a 3 up, 3 down for this one. Spencer, as of right now, Spencer still hasn't sent me one. So it's going to be just you and me. So Edward, do you want to go first or you want me to go first?
You go first, bro. You can do the...
All right. 3 down. Obviously, these are the songs that we maybe not like or bands that we... you guys get the reference. You guys, at this point, you guys heard enough. 3 up, 3 down, so you guys know how we do things. All right. Start things off. At number 3, I have Lola Montez by Volbeat.
Which one's that one?
By Volbeat? Like Lola Montez?
Volbeat. Yeah. How does it go? Give me a little section over here.
Feel the fire when she walks. Lola Montez, so beautiful, shady and tempered. That one?
Okay.
Anyways. Now, I don't hate the song. I actually do like the song, but anyone could tell you, especially Edward, I'm not a Volbeat guy. Like, I only know a few songs from Volbeat. And to be honest, the lead singer has a very weird voice to me. I don't know why this band just like it's been very recently. That's probably also why I have it at number 3. Just recently, for some reason, I'm listening to their songs, even though once again I'm not a fan of Volbeat. It's not like I don't hate them, but I also don't like them either. And just they have a few songs that I find kind of catchy. And so, but this song, for some weird reason, I don't know why, has been stuck in my head. And so, like, it's kind of annoying because it's like, obviously, the way to fight this is by finally hearing the song so you can get it out of your system. So number three, I have Lola Montez by Volbeat. Number two, Edward can know this, but Baby Shark.
Oh, dude, that was actually going to be one of mine. I think that was going to be like my number two as well on my down.
Look, like, I love my nieces. Everybody, you know, I love my nieces. I love my nephews. I love my godsons. But they play it over and over and over.
Brother used to play right now. I'm telling you.
But also, then obviously, if you guys know that not only do I love soccer, but I also love baseball. And when Baby Shark was at the height of its listening ship of it, baseball players were walking on with Baby Shark. And obviously it's because they wanted, like, okay, my child wanted me to walk on to Baby Shark, and that's why I'm walking on to Baby Shark. So I had to hear this at baseball games too. So it's like, it's everywhere, and it's catchy. As even though the lines are very simple, it's catchy. It's stuck on your head. And then once it's there, it's not leaving. And so number two, Baby Shark. At number one, you know, what?
I was going to say, you know, they even have remixes with that shit.
Yeah. And number one, I See You by Luke Bryan. Don't know how the song. Huh?
Really?
What?
I See You by Luke Bryan.
I mean, you guys already know I don't like Luke Bryan like that. I listen to some of Luke Bryan's songs, but I'm not necessarily Luke Bryan. I'm not a Luke Bryan fan. And the only reason why, if you ever catch me listening to Luke Bryan, is probably because, you know, I'm with someone that likes listening to Luke Bryan. It's kind of like Cat Williams saying, like, I don't drink Cristal, but girls do. That's why he has Cristal in the fridge. But anyways, so yeah, that song gets stuck in my head. Don't know why it pops up in my head. It's not a song that I listen to a lot. Obviously, I don't really listen to Luke Bryan like that. But it just pops up in my head that I like. And I think it's probably just because, like, the little guitar riff that it has, that maybe that's the reason why it gets stuck in my head, because I do like the guitar riff. But yeah, so to reiterate my three down, number three, Lola Montez by Volbeat. Number two, Baby Shark. And number one, I See You by Luke Bryan.
Okay. All right.
And also, I find Luke Bryan's voice a little weird, too.
I mean, that dude literally, I don't know, man. Like, I feel like he's all right. He's not like, I'm not saying, oh my God, amazingness and everything.
I mean, I don't hate Luke Bryan. I don't put energy on Luke Bryan.
All right. Yeah, I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I do have a song that I like from Luke Bryan, but it's like, it's all right. I'm not like, I think I memorized it, but I guess I haven't heard it in a while. That I lost track of it. Okay, so here's my three. All right, so my bottom three. Here we go. Okay, so my bottom three is, number three is, I guess I got tired of it because there was this time where I would listen to EDM, and now it just kind of, it rubs me a little bit. It's because I guess because it came out on the radio, it came in a lot. Mind you, I'll listen to EDM now and then because I watch Initial D, and that's literally all they play on the show, on the anime. It's like that old 90s initial, like, EDM music. So then, you know, you go back to, like, you know, whatever was big here in America, and even though it wasn't originally in America that it was made, but number three is I'm Blue, you know?
Da ba di ba da.
Yeah, exactly. That. I was like, so listen, and then here's the story. I was like, oh, every time I had to fucking start that shit, I was like,
I think someone sampled that song now. Like, I think there's like a song.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that bitch was like, blue, and they fucking make a whole different
that
song.
That right there is the 90s. Was it Eiffel 65? I think that was the name of the
book. Yeah, something like that. And then Okay, so that song is my number three. My number two, I'm gonna bump off Hector here because I had it in my list for my bottom. My kids used to listen to this so much to where the point where their 1 year birthday cake was a Baby Shark cake, and got them Baby Sharks, and I even got them the Baby Shark shit. But it's Baby Shark, like Baby Shark. And then what's worse now is like Baby Shark, they remixed a song where it's Into the Sand, another EDM song, like a long time ago. That was from the 90s. Yes. You haven't heard it, bro?
No, but I don't want to.
after the podcast, I will show you. I will send you the TikTok that has it. I mean, it goes pretty hard because, like, you know, you're like, oh, another Baby Shark song. And then all of a sudden, it's like, what? What? It kind of gives you that nostalgic feeling. So that's why I was like, oh, my God, it's so bro.
What's your number one?
And my number one. Okay, so my number one bad song is the Six Flags song, the one, the Venga Bus. The Venga Bus is coming. Yeah. Because every time you automatically think of the old man dancing, something like that. But it was like, it just, oh God. And ironically, all of these are EDM, but it's like most of them are like.
That's like 90s, you know? as it gets, man. But yeah,
bro, that's what I'm saying. Like those songs from the 90s are the ones that kind of stick on you. Like these new millennium songs and stuff, all this mobile rap, you can't really remember what the hell they're saying. So a lot of times, you know, you go off the beat, you're like, oh, I know this beat, or oh, I know what this is, or anything like that. So yeah, it's just it's pretty intense. But yeah, number one is that. So number three is I'm Blue. Number two, Baby Shark. Number one is the Venga Bus is coming, I guess. I don't fucking know.
All right, man. My three up is number three, Everybody by Backstreet Boys.
Oh God. Yeah.
Basically, I mean, it's safe to say everyone at least has a Backstreet Boys song that they have on their list, whether it's a three down or three up, depending how you feel about the Backstreet Boys. But yeah, it gets you hype. at least to me. Like when you hear that, like the initial Everybody, you're like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
But anyways, so yeah, number three is Everybody by the Backstreet Boys. Number two, I mean, I couldn't make this list without having this person on there. No Drama by Becky G.
I've yet to hear it, though, so okay.
It is a banger. It's got Ozuna in it as well.
All right.
But yeah, I love that song. Because it's just like, there's a part where it's like, no drama, no drama, no drama. I was like, fuck yeah.
Oh, okay.
Sure. Anyways, and number one, You Remind Me by Usher.
All right. Okay.
So to reiterate, number three, Everybody by the Backstreet Boys. Number two, No Drama by Becky G. And number one, You Remind Me by Usher.
All right. I got you on that one. Okay, so right now I've been on this. So here's going to be my top three. So here's my number three. I've been on this Lunae binge. I don't know if you know who that is.
Lunae?
The reggaetonero.
I think you mentioned it on a previous.
It was a previous one. I think it was like singers, I guess, that we like, or our top three singers, I guess, that's on right now or something. it was one of our podcasts where I think it had to do with artists.
Solo artists.
So he was one of them. So I've been on the binge. Basically, like, I'll listen to his old shit and then I'll keep going. This kid is like 20, maybe 21, I guess. I don't fucking know. But like, he does bring out some good shit. It kind of reminds me a little bit of an old school, but it like meets the new school kind of stuff. So, I mean, he's got talent. And he's been doing collabs. I told you, he did with Lil Mosey. And, but yeah, that's actually one song that's on there. But yeah, that number three is one of his songs, his solo songs. It's, I know you've heard this one before, Aventura, the one with Anuel and Osuna.
Okay.
You've heard it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, he's actually the main artist for that song.
Okay.
Yeah, so he's the main artist for that song. But, yeah, that's my number three. All right, my number two. Since it's funny, bro, I feel like this is how we're... This is why, I guess, why we're friends, you know? So my number two... my number two is... Backstreet Boys, I Want It That Way. It's like a guilty pleasure song.
All right, I guess. Like I said, you can't do this list without having Backstreet Boys.
You really can't. I mean, because then it's like, okay. It's so, yeah, you know.
I also think it doesn't help that you also like Brooklyn Nine-Nine, because there's a very iconic scene that features a Backstreet
Boys. Every time that the song comes on, I remember that scene. I don't even remember the music video from back in the 90s or whatever the fuck would happen.
What's funny is that music video is like the most boy band stereotypical music video.
Okay, so check this out. The first time I ever heard this song, my mom was cleaning the house and she took me with her, and the people had three daughters. They were kids too. And they literally made a fucking watch party. This is what happens when you're privileged. You have watch parties, apparently. I didn't know this. I just, you know, watch TV and I'm like thinking, oh, cool, I'm going to eat my mac and cheese or something. No, they had watch parties for whenever MTV, I guess, did this kind of stuff.
Back when MTV used to play music?
Yeah, so then the parents were there.
Back when music television actually meant music television?
Yeah, then they had their friends over and I'm over here like helping my mom carry the vacuum cleaner upstairs and kind of stuff. But off the banister upstairs, then, you know, you hear all the girls just screaming. Well, of course, you know, when I'm little, I'm like, I'm not going to say what the fuck. I was like, what in the heck is going on? And I look up and I'm like, I hear the song and I'm like, oh, man. I was like, it's this song. And I got so upset. I remember back when I was a kid, I mean, I wasn't a Backstreet fan, whatever, dude. I was like, yeah.
It grows on you.
It's like that music with your parents. You listen with your parents and stuff. It kind of grows on you after that. You kind of miss it. But that's my number two. And my number one, my number one is kind of tricky.
You got my attention so far.
I know. It might affect you. Maybe not. Depends on how you see me. So it's a bachata song. It's that the Aventura Obsesión. I mean, as soon as you hear the beeper sound come on, you already know.
Know
what's going on.
Okay. I feel like everybody Obsession. Obsession. For those who don't know what Obsession means.
If you guys want to listen to the English version, you can go ahead and try to find it. Or you can
the Frankie J version?
No. The Frankie J version? Hey, the Frankie J version was all right. That's not that bad. And then when they remix it into the reggaeton version.
Yeah, but anyways, Obsession, I feel like it's the one everybody knows as far as like bachata. I think it's probably one of the most frequently played songs. And that's the great thing with Spanish music, because they'll play like songs that are like super old, but it still bangs. But no, yeah, Obsession is good. For some reason, I don't know why, I thought you were going to say Shorty Shorty by Extreme. And that's how comical it is for you and your cousin.
Nah, don't you dare. Just stop right there. Right? Continue that. Never happened.
We'll mention this story at some point. But that's our three up three down. Go ahead, reiterate.
Okay. So my number three was Luna's Aventura. Number two was Backstreet Boys, I Want It That Way. And number one was Aventura's Obsesión.
Yep. All right, man. So that's the show. Thanks for listening. I want to give a shout out to the Unhinged Sports Network. You guys can go ahead and follow them on Twitter at Network Unhinged and on Instagram at UnhingedSN. Also, check out their website, unhingedsn.com. You know, obviously you see who's currently playing right now on right now live on the, obviously if you're listening to us through Unhinged, obviously, you know, we're the ones that are live, but obviously there's also some blogs that are also available for you guys to read. I've written some blogs, you know, humble brag. But yeah, so go ahead and check them out. It's a lot of great stuff there. There's a lot of great podcasts, obviously Far on the Bench, High Low Sports, which we mentioned a few times here, J-Dash Show, and also the Unhinged exclusive shows, which Three in the Key, Two for Chirping, Unhinged FC, which me and Ed were a part of with Kelsey from High Low Sports, Cover Six once football season kicks back off. So a lot of great stuff, a lot of great podcasts. We definitely want you guys to check out Unhinged because, you know, they gave us a shot and we want to make sure that we're growing, but also Unhinged as well. So shout out to them. And obviously you can catch us on our premieres on Friday at 11 p.m. Central Time. 11 a.m. Central Time. Jesus. 11 a.m. Central Time. And then obviously we'll be available immediately after on all major podcast platforms. All right. And shout out to Alejandra Gomez and her company, ANG Graphics, for the creation of the Insert Name FC logo. We love the logo. We appreciate the logo. I might hit up Alejandra to make a Pride Month version of our logo. Maybe. Who knows? I might just ask that. And you can follow her on Instagram at a.g.graphics with an X. Once again, it's at a.g.graphics with an X. Follow her. And if you guys want a logo done, hit her up because she'll take good care of you. Clearly, like how well she took care of us.
Yeah.
Shout out to our guy, the producer of this show, Roosevelt Spencer, the guy that makes the beats, everything, does the even has to do our karaoke's that with these singing bets, which him and Edward both owe me still. So yeah, not gonna hang that on y'all or anything like that. But
yeah.
Everything, you know, he's the reason why our show is so good. So we definitely want to always give him a good product. So shout out to Roosevelt Spencer. And once again, guys, if you guys are building a podcast or a YouTube channel, it's very, very important to, in my opinion, to have your own original beat. Have Spencer be your guy for that. Follow him on Instagram at thatguydope. Let him take care of you like he took care of us, and he still does. So shout out to him. Thanks for listening. We hit episode 40, which is a crazy milestone to us. But we're not done yet. So catch us next week for episode 41. And we do have a interview with somebody that I think is going to be really cool to listen to. So go ahead and check us out for next week.
Yeah.